Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Welcome back to All of It. I'm Allison Stewart. We're listening to excerpts from WNYC and the Apollo's annual MLK celebration. In this next portion, we'll hear from a very special guest, artist and MacArthur Fellow Carrie Mae Weems, performing a piece called How Do You Measure a Life?
And now, please welcome to the stage Apollo Theater executive producer Camilla Forbes.
So the Apollo has always been a place where art and activism has come together and have been welcome. Interdisciplinary artists like Harry Belafonte, Sammy Davis Jr., James Brown, Nina Simone, and others use this stage not only to entertain, but to uplift. And we proudly continue that practice today with one of America's most influential artists. A woman whose complex body of photographs and multimedia works have been featured at major institutions across this great city, from the Metropolitan Museum of Art to the Studio Museum in Harlem. And like Dr. King, she's committed to the advancement of the African-American community. She believes fully in using creativity as a means to disseminate power. She's an accomplished photographer, and her talent knows no bounds, so today she will perform a spoken word piece. Making her Apollo stage debut, please welcome Miss Carrie Mae Weems.
Thank you to be standing on this hallowed ground. Some of our greatest artists, some of the greatest musicians of our time have stood on this stage, and so to be here is just really more than I could ever hope for. My only regret is that my daddy isn't here to see his baby's name on her door. My husband and I, we're going to paint a star on it before I leave. Take it home. So I'm just going to talk to you just a little bit about a few things. I am a visual artist, and I've been working for a very, very, very long time. And one of the things that I know about being an artist, whether you're an artist or a musician or a dancer or a creative thinker or a creative being, is that it all takes an enormous amount of work. And that probably one of the most important things that you can do at any given moment is to get out of the way of the work so that the work can do the work that it needs to do. It's probably the hardest thing that we do. It's a challenge to be able to put it aside for a moment, because we're always working, we're always clawing towards that thing, hopefully trying to get towards some sense of our deeper truth. Often it's when I'm finally in bed, resting, sleeping, that ideas come to me. When I've stopped fighting against myself, when I've stopped struggling, wrestling with the word, wrestling with my imagination, wrestling with meaning, that ideas start to soar. In those wee hours of the night, wee hours of the morning, sometimes in dreams. And while working on a project, it's called Grace Notes, it's a performance piece that I put together a couple of years ago. While working on Grace Notes, I was again in that sort of place where artists often are, of struggling with self, struggling with meaning. In particular, I was struggling with, even though the piece had already been performed, I was really struggling with the meaning of grace. What is the meaning of grace? We use it all the time. Right, we use it all the time. We use that term all the time. What is the meaning of grace? And I'm still battling and struggling with myself in some way, trying to come to terms with that idea. What is grace? The meaning of grace. But certainly one of the great conversations that I've had with my mother in the course of my life and living was my conversation one morning with her about the meaning of grace. So I'm struggling. I go to bed one night. Hot August night, my husband was away, he was fishing. I was at home, dealing, working in the studio, and I went to sleep. And I dreamt that I was standing by the seashore. I was standing by the seashore, and there rose up out of the sea this enormous wave, this giant thing, this massive tsunami was coming, and I thought, oh my Lord, I'm going to die. But I've got to warn my friends that this thing, that this force, this darkness is coming. And so I started running towards my friends, running towards my family. And just as I started to run, I looked to my right and there was Trump leering at me. And I thought, what is this? In my dream. What is he doing in my dream? But of course, he was the force that was coming. And so I ran past him, and I'm waving my arms, and I'm calling out to my families and friends. And then I get to the bottom of Martin Puryear's Great Ladder. I don't know if any of you know Martin Puryear's. If you do know it, raise your hand. This great, 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 fabulous ladder, one of the great exhibitions that I think I've ever seen. It must be 75 feet, 100 feet long. Unbelievable piece of sculpture. And at the bottom were all my friends and all my family climbing. And as they climbed, they were singing, "We are climbing Jacob's ladder." But they weren't climbing or singing as a hymn. It was more like a protest song. And so artists have been tremendously important to me. Martin Puryear, that work has been incredibly important to me. That ability to use metaphor as a way of taking us higher, to a higher place, to a higher ground of observation and consideration and complexity, was all very much embedded in that extraordinary dream. Hey, I woke up out of it wailing, crying. I ran out to my balcony and I stood there weeping for a long time. But there was a great break, a wonderful break happened that allowed me to again move back into the work and to understand the complexity, really, of what we are up against as people struggling, moving, pushing, pulling, using this bridge called our backs for a whole host of people to emerge into the profundity and the greatness of their humanity. So that was my dream. So the piece that I'm going to read in just a few minutes, it's short, really. I started writing this little piece, again, working on this project for Grace Notes. And then it occurred to me that really Grace Notes is all about the killing of young black men, for the most part, young black men, that dozens upon dozens upon dozens upon dozens of young black men who have been killed in this country over the last few years. An escalation in this history of violence happened when Obama entered the White House and decreased significantly once Obama left the White House, something that I think needs to be looked into. The Washington Post has done, I think, some important work in the area. But this idea that we are negotiating constantly the history of violence, I think is absolutely key, absolutely important. And we think about what we're doing here today, celebrating Martin Luther King, then we understand that we are dealing within a nation that has systematically committed atrocities through assassinations of some of our major leaders, right? The assassination of Martin, the assassination of Megger, the assassination of Malcolm, the assassination of John, the assassination of Robert, right? The assassination of Megger. I mean, it goes on and on, right? And that's where we are. And so I wanted to think about this as I thought about these other ideas. And so I'm going to simply present this short video. And it's a piece that I wrote called How Do You Measure a Life? And so we'll start the video. Let's bring the volume down just a little bit. I'm so honored to be here with you, to stand before you, to think about this question, the meaning of life. I wake up more and more thinking about it every day, this life and what it is. In this mystery of all mysteries, in the Alpha and in the Omega, in a world coming on a day without end, I humbly ask, how, by what means and by what measure do you measure a life? Do you measure it inch by inch, foot by foot, yard by yard, or step by step? Do you measure it by the moments lost, but by the moments gained? Will you measure it day by day, year by year, by yesterday, today, tomorrow? Or will you measure it by the miles walked, the valleys climbed, and the mountains explored? Will you measure a life by the dreams imagined or by the hopes dashed? Will you measure it by the wisdom of wise words spoken or by the sorrow that is often suffered in silence? Will you measure it by the wealth accumulated or by the amount spent? We measure it by success or victories. We measure it by the monuments that have been built, the walls scaled, by victories or defeats, large, small. Will we measure it over the forgotten or over the remembered? By all the near misses and the exhaustion? Or will we measure it by one's ability, will, to endure? How? How do you measure a life? Do we measure it by race, by class, by gender, by beauty? Measure it by your lover's love or your hater's hate? Do we measure it by pushing against the wind, against the tide, against family, or against tradition? Do we measure it by the suffering of our friends and enemies alike? Do we measure it by the beginning, or do we measure it by its end? By the way we confront life, or by the way we confront death? By the number of friends that we gather during a lifetime, or by the remaining few who go as far as they possibly can go with you, shedding copious tears when they lay your body down? Will we measure a life by the road traveled or by the effort, the will, the drive? Will we measure it by the kindness we have been displayed in the course of our lives? Will we measure it by the grace that has been given? I ask myself this question over and over and over. How will I measure a life? How will you measure yours? How will you measure your engagement? How will you measure your participation? How will you measure your love? How will you measure your actions? How you measure meaning, complexity? How do you measure really the scope and the tremendous blessing that we've been given called a life? I wake up every morning grasping for it, curious and anxious, and I hope you do too. Thank you.
This is All of It. We'll be back after a quick break. Stay with us.